If you like playing in the field of possibilities and getting your information from those who really know, Conversation at the Cutting Edge is your kind of program. Host Sandy Sedgebeer speaks with teachers, speakers, scientists, and authors that are shifting perceptions about who we are and what we're capable of. Get ready to expand your awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Here's Sandy.
Hello, and welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgebeer. And tonight, we're going to be discussing how a self-confessed, hyper-rational, religion-phobic scientist came to publish a best-selling book about biology that not only tipped many sacred cows of science, but is also demonstrating that spiritual consciousness is critical to our health and longevity. My guest is Dr. Bruce Lipton, whose pioneering insights and research detailed in his groundbreaking book, The Biology of Belief, fueled the epigenetic revolution that is now laying the foundation for a consciousness-based understanding of biology and our lives. Bruce Lipton, welcome.
Sandy, thank you so very much for this opportunity. I so appreciate being back with you again, and especially because, as we can all see, there's a tremendous amount of upheaval going on in our world. And I'd love to get on the show with you because instead of being afraid of this upheaval, what biology is revealing is that this is one of the most important turning points of our civilization. So we're in a massive evolutionary upheaval at this moment.
Yes, and you paint that picture so elegantly in your book and some solutions to it. First, Bruce, I just want to go back. I mean, it's hard to believe that 10 years have passed since you first published, self-published, The Biology of Belief. I mean, it's an extraordinary book, and it's contributed so much to the development of epigenetics. And it also shocked the bejesus out of me when I learned how my earlier thoughts and emotions had impacted the biology of my children. So you've really done the world a great service. Did you have any idea of the impact when you first self-published it?
Well, I had a very big idea of the personal impact because my life was so transformed by this science. I mean, it was just like, oh my God, it's another start with some instructions on how to drive this vehicle we call the body. You know, most of us have some very bad driver education, and the way we live our lives, our lifestyle, is very destructive of the biology. And when you understand that there's another way of learning how to drive this vehicle and how you can keep it healthy and happy and not be afraid of disease, that changes one's life. And for me, the most important thing was I was not a spiritual person. Being a scientist, I was very much interested in what science had to say. Spirituality never came into an equation, so I never concerned myself with it. But when I studied the cells and they revealed to me the nature of my spirituality, it was a transformative moment because I can tell you a test very quickly. There's a different way of living if you don't have any spiritual connection versus when you understand that you have a spiritual connection. It profoundly changes how we deal with life.
Now, you just alluded in your opening remarks to the fact that we are living in very, very trying times, and your book details what's going on and how our biology can actually give us the clues to surmounting some of the problems. Say more about that.
What, the problems of the driver education part?
Our biology, how much we can learn from our biology. You talk about we all behaved like the cellular organisms, we'd have a much more peaceful world.
So much so. I mean, what we really have to learn from our biology, number one, is that we have seen our health situation turn into a major planetary crisis, very big here in the U.S., and we look at that and we say, oh, my God, that's the frailty and vulnerabilities of a biological system, and we can anticipate and expect that this is the way life is. It turns out less than 1% of disease is related to our biology and our genetics. That the vast majority, 90% or more of disease, is because the way we're living and not knowing how our biology works is sort of like I mentioned earlier. If you don't know how to drive a vehicle and then you're given a vehicle, you're not likely to keep it healthy and happy for a long time. And so the new biology really reveals how our consciousness is controlling this, but more importantly, that we've all been programmed. It's very interesting. Most people have seen a movie called The Matrix. And it's interesting because I say, well, you go in the video store and you say, well, where can I find the movie The Matrix? And they'll say science fiction. And then I laugh because it's actually a documentary in that we have all been programmed and that our lives are, now this is a big word, unconsciously run by the program. And I mean that big word meaning that 95% of our behavior is actually not even observed by our conscious mind. And psychologists will tell us most of that behavior, which was programmed in the first 7 years of our life, is negative and disempowering and self-sabotaging. And then I just say, well, wait a minute, if 95% of my life is running these programs and I'm not observant of them, where does that lead me? And it leads me to the belief as well, when things don't work out, if I'm not healthy, if I can't find my goal and I'm struggling and all that, there's a tendency, oh, my goodness, the universe is against me. Fate is against me. With a new understanding of biology, it says, oh, my God, 95% of the day you have been invisibly shooting yourself in the foot. And at night you wonder about how come I got this bloody foot. And the reality was we did not see that we are actually running our biology with programs and our wishes and desires, which is our conscious mind versus the programs of subconscious mind. Wishes and desires run about 5% of the time controlling your biology. So all those great things you want in your life, I say, yeah, how much are you approaching toward those goals, health, happiness, marriage, job, whatever, I don't care, whatever, how much you're approaching those goals of your wishes, it only turns out that only about 5% of the day are we actually engaging our behavior to go to those wishes. Well, 95% of the day, our biology is like a program. It's running a program, and we're not seeing it. Very simple reason is that the programs run unconsciously, and our conscious mind, the one with wishes and desires, is busy. And this is where the numbers come from. 5% of the time, our conscious mind is actually paying attention to what's going on in the world around us. 95% of the time, and it goes from 95 to 99% of the time, our minds are in thought. And when our minds are thinking, the conscious mind gets tied up with thinking. And in that moment, then all the behavior is taken over by subconscious automatic programs by default. I ask you a simple question. I say, Sandy, tell me what you're doing on Friday at 7 p.m. If you actually consider that thought, then realize this. The moment you are considering that thought, you're in your mind thinking, oh, where am I going Friday, 7? I go, yeah, but guess what? The moment you were thinking that, whatever was going on, you were not paying attention to. So, in other words, if you're driving the car and all of a sudden you get into deep thought or a deep conversation where your conscious mind's all tied up, and then at some point you realize you haven't paid attention to the road for some period of time, and they say, wow, who was driving the car? I go, automatic program, default, subconscious. Your conscious mind was busy. Point, very simply, conscious mind is busy from 95 to 99% of the day. Point, simple fact, 95 to 99% of the day, our behavior is being run by subconscious programs that we got from other people during our development. And unfortunately, when those programs are playing, we are the ones that don't see it because we're so busy in our thought that the behavior is playing unconsciously. So if you have negative behavior from that programming, then 95% of the day you will be engaging that behavior and so sabotaging your life, but not being able to see it.
You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Bruce Lipton, whose book, The Biology of Belief, catapulted him from one career as a cellular biologist into another as a recognized leader in bridging science and spirit. After the break, Bruce will share some of the latest research revealed in the expanded 10-year anniversary edition of the book that's just gone on sale. Stay tuned.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Dr. Bruce Lipton about what's changed and what hasn't in the 10 years since he published the first edition of The Biology of Belief. Bruce, you just released the 10th anniversary edition, which has fantastic commentary on everything that you wrote before. What is the thing that's most encouraged you that's happened in the last 10 years?
Well, there are a couple of very different ones for me on a personal level, which I've written about, but I think ones that for general public deals with a subject called telomeres, which I've added into the book, this whole section on telomeres, and you say, okay, you may have heard the word, but what are they? They're extensions to our DNA molecule. So let's just say, what is a DNA? It's a long molecule, and segments along the length that make the proteins of the body, those are called genes. And at the end of the DNA molecule, there's an extra piece of DNA called a telomere. Now, a telomere is a piece of DNA that doesn't do any programming, like to make proteins and things like that. It's just an extra piece of DNA that doesn't add to the code. You say, well, why should you have that? And I say, well, every time you copy the DNA, imagine a locomotive on a train track. And as it goes down the train track, it makes a duplicate copy of the train track behind it. So as the train's moving down the track, a new track is being made right behind the train. So let's say the train track is DNA. The locomotive is a protein that makes new DNA. So as the protein is moving down the DNA behind it, it makes a copy of the DNA that it's moving down along. I say, well, why is that relevant? I say, well, you got the visual picture of a train moving down a track. And I say, yeah, but when the train gets to the end of the track, it can't go any further. It's the end of the track. I say, yeah, but guess what? The train is sitting on a piece of track. I say, why is it relevant? I say, well, if the train is copying the track, it cannot copy the piece that it's sitting on. So when the train gets all the way down to the end of the track, the new track that is copied isn't as long as the original track because the train, the enzyme, can't copy the piece it's sitting on. So every time the DNA is copied, it gets a little shorter than it did the previous time. I go, well, why is that relevant? Well, it says, how many times can a cell divide before there's a problem? I say, well, where's the problem? I say, well, if I shorten the DNA, but it doesn't make a difference because I have the little extra lengths called telomeres. They're just like extra length of track. I said, no problem. But if it gets shorter and the telomeres are gone and the next division makes the DNA a little shorter, now we're cutting into the gene program. That means we're going to mess up the proteins in the body if it gets that short. And I say, well, what's the relevance? The cells have a certain number of cell divisions before they run out of telomeres. And I say, why is that relevant? Because your lifespan is connected to how many times these cells can divide. So it used to be thought that a cell could divide about 50 times. That was like how long it would take before the telomere would run out. And I say, well, that would give us a life of, you know, about 100 years that we're talking about, let's say. And I go, okay, so we thought, okay, there's the end of human life. That's, you can only live that long until the cells divide so many times. Now you're cutting into the gene program and you've lost the telomeres. And so we thought, okay, that limits our life. And guess what? We now know there's an enzyme that makes the telomeres longer. I go, well, what's the relevance of that? And I say, well, if you can make the telomeres longer, then you don't age like you were doing before. Why? Because the cells can divide and divide but not run out of telomeres. It's when they run out of telomeres that aging and disease and depression manifest in our lives. So I say, well, what if you activate the enzyme? I say, ah, well, then you can prolong the life of the biology of the body. And I say, well, how long? I say, well, right now, indefinitely, I don't know. And then I say, yeah, but here's the part for the public that really is important. Is that, well, what are the factors that influence the enzyme to make the telomeres or to stop making them? I say, if you stop making telomeres, then you begin aging. If you continue making telomeres, then you can stay younger. So it's the fountain of youth. And I say, okay, here's some things that stop the enzyme. Lack of love, lack of self-love, which is very important because 80% or more of us don't love ourselves because of developmental programming. Violence, post-traumatic stress syndrome, not eating well, not exercising. These prevent that enzyme from working, and therefore those things will shorten your life. In contrast, for people who see life as loving and wonderful, love themselves, have gratitude for what they have, think positive thoughts, eat a wonderfully balanced diet with a lot of omega fats, especially 3, exercise, and really just having a very positive outlook. And here's a very important one, service. When our conscious mind is in service, meaning we have something to do. I'm taking care of a person, and that person's life is dependent on me. Then my mind is saying, oh, my God, I have this job. I have to take care of this person. Guess what? Then my mind increases the telomere length so I can be healthier and live longer as long as I'm in the service of someone. So people in service jobs, helping people, helping the world, they are already given a boost in their life. And why is this important? It's because we have a figure that, oh, your life is only so long, and then you run out and die, and then all of a sudden I say, no, it's the way we are living that is preventing the telomeres from extending because we're not living in that positive, healthy, harmonious environment that would encourage the telomeres. So all of a sudden you say, well, what's the length of a human life? And I can say, a minimum, as we know right now, is 140, 150. That's a minimum. And I say, well, then how come we're not living that long? I say, because in driving our vehicle, our mind is not supporting our longevity. We don't have positive outlooks. We don't have love. These issues, we're not doing something. This is reason one of the reasons why people, when they retire, many of them die very quickly. A simple reason is they retired and their mind is saying, oh, I have no more things to do. And then all of a sudden the mind says, well, okay. And then no more telomeres are made at that moment. And then, boom, it's downhill from there. So it says we have power, but we didn't know it. And there's a fountain of youth, and it's built into us. And to activate it, it just means affecting our consciousness.
And, you know, one of the things I loved about your book is that you say that spiritual beliefs are actually very good for our health, you know, which makes a difference because people used to dismiss it as, you know, spiritual psychobabble, and now actually it's extending our lives, making us healthier.
Oh, you know, there's scientific research that totally reveals that comparing patients with the same illnesses and all that, looking at comparing them in regard to whether they hold a spiritual belief or they don't hold a spiritual belief, there's a profound difference in the health of those that have that spiritual belief. They are much healthier and live longer and much better lives than the same patients. The patients with the same issues, but that don't have a spiritual belief. And it might be very interesting to add, well, does it only work if there's a real spirituality that you can attest to? And I go, you know, not necessarily. You don't know. Nobody knows. But I can tell you this. If you hold the belief in spirituality, you have a healthier, happier, longer life. That's a fact. Because the mind releases chemistry to encourage your health and your vitality when you see life is wonderful and beautiful. That's what keeps us. That's why when people fall in love, for example, and all of a sudden life becomes so beautiful at that moment, guess what? That's when they get healthy. That's when they glow. People say, oh, look at those people in love. You can see how healthy they are. Look, they're glowing. And I go, this is not an accident coincidence. It is a translation of a belief in love and experience of love into chemistry that affects the genetics and the health of the biology. So if you're not in that love, you have a different chemistry and it doesn't support the same thing. So and it's also very interesting because your life may be struggle, 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 struggle. You meet this one person, and boom, you fall in love. And I go, and guess what? The next day, it's like heaven on earth. It's like, oh, my God, life is so beautiful. Life is so great. And I go, what changed in 24 hours? Life was a struggle. Now life is heaven. I go, what was the difference? Here's the interesting part. Going back to the Matrix, they talk about you're in the program, and if you want to stay in the program, you take a blue pill, and when you wake up, you're back. Everything is exactly the same as it was. But then they say if you take a red pill, you get out of the program. And it's interesting because we now know that when people fall in love and experience that equivalent of a honeymoon, it manifests because they've unconsciously taken a red pill, meaning instead of letting their mind wander when they meet this person, they keep their mind up front present. It's being called mindful. And I say, well, then if you keep your mind present without thinking, then not only 5% of the day, but you can have 90% of the day or more being mindful, controlling your life with wishes and desires. I say, what is the consequence? I say, your life was a struggle, and then you took the red pill, you fell in love, and all of a sudden you stopped playing the program during that period called the honeymoon. I go, well, what happened when you stopped playing the program? You created heaven on earth. And then I say, and then how come the honeymoon ends? It's because inevitably your mind gets busy, the thinking process starts taking over, and then more and more we start playing those old programs, those limiting programs of subconscious, and that sabotages the honeymoon. So basically it says, we've been programmed, and the moment we've gotten out of the program, whether it's just a short time, a few days, a week, a month, or whatever, and we experience that honeymoon effect, our lives completely change. Point, it's the program that's holding us back. Changing that program and falling in love without playing those old programs can immediately change your health and your life and everything that happened to it. So it's a great reflection on we are very powerful. We blamed all our issues because medicine would like to tell us that genes control all this and you're a victim. And now we go, no, wait. Your mind controls all of this, and you're the one that can affect the changes in your mind. Therefore, rather than being a victim, we actually are masters, but we just didn't learn the driver education part.
Yeah, and the most important thing, as you so beautifully put it in the book, is it's no longer about the survival of the fittest. It's about the survival of the most loving. How good, you know, how much better than that can it get?
Well, you know, it's always been a story about how biology looks at this, at this nature as this giant battleground, right? But historically, we refer to nature as the garden, so-called Garden of Eden. I go, well, what's different about that older view and today's view? Well, the Garden of Eden is not a battleground the way we see it today. Everything, oh, it's a struggle. Life is a struggle and survival and fight and all that. And I go, in a garden, there is no struggle. It's all cooperation. And, you know, and in the world we live today, it's not cooperation. It's competition. And the relevance is this: we are in such a, you know, bad state of harmony that we're actually destroying ourselves and the world around us because of our behavior. And so this is an opportunity to wake up. And when we wake up, a honeymoon doesn't have to be a short period. A honeymoon is a creation that you can have every day of your life for as long as you live. And perhaps we start to now realize that might be over 140 years. So I think a wonderful, positive future in front of us.
Yeah, and before we bring the show to a close, Bruce, you know, one of the most encouraging things amongst the many in the expanded edition is that you write that the stresses of the increasing human population will be responsible for pushing us up another rung of the evolutionary ladder.
Well, this is whole thing that we're seeing right now, that this population issue is coming to a problem, not so much because of population, but because most of the people have been programmed in such a negative way that their daily lives create a negative world in which we live. And that this evolution says, no, take back the power, put it in. Why? You're the creator. If you can create heaven on earth for you and another person in a honeymoon, then if we all collectively shared that same kind of belief that generated a honeymoon, then the planet actually becomes heaven on earth. And that's, I think, really the most important thing. As we see what is a struggle, I go, yeah, but the struggle was a belief system that life is a struggle. What if everybody believed that it wasn't a struggle? And I go, well, we have a different world. That's where it's going to come down to.
Absolutely. Bruce, we have to leave it there. But before we go, where can people get your book and where can they see you next?
Oh, well, I'm going to, let's say the book, I think any yep. major bookstore, and especially Amazon, that's a good deal, or even my website, brucelipton.com. It's available almost everywhere. And I will be, let's see, in New York for Hay House in 2 weeks, and I'll be in Phoenix at Celebrate Your Life in about another 10 days or something like that. So, and I'm very excited because when people can see how simple this is and remove the belief of the complexity of the world, it's really very simple. And as you said, it's really thinking in love and being in love and seeing it in a different way than the newspapers tell us.
Beautifully said. I'll be in Phoenix at Celebrate Your Life too, Bruce, so I'll see you there. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I look forward to that.
Me too. Take care, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That brings us to the end of the show. For advanced information about future guests, you can sign up for my newsletter at sedgebeer.com. The theme tune for the show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, and musician Barry Goldstein. I'm Sandy Sedgebeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to having your company at the same time next week. Till then, you can listen to more great shows live and in our archives here at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, where scientists, researchers, authors, and teachers working at the leading edge meet. For conversations that aim to shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can achieve when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Join us next week, same time, with your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, for another Conversation at the Cutting Edge.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.